The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio, or its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire.
Good day. Your mighty creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father said concerning such believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life? In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge, a glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me. Today I'm going to continue with my essence of my message to Christians. This is part two, the second part. The overview of the broadcast. The broadcast continues from last week. Refer to the webpage of this name, the essence of my message to Christians, on the www.endtimeissueministries.com website, and the recording on the www.relationshipwithcreator.com website. It is noted that there are various ranks in heaven of those who please the Almighty. He stated that Satan was sent to the pit for 1,000 years on 3rd of May 2003, and that the earth is ruled by a junta of seven demonic masterminds. It is stressed that there is judgment in this life for believers who sin. It is noted that the Bible is just a book and not the Word of God, and it contains error and is based on fragments and contains 66 books. It is noted that Yahushua, incorrectly Jesus, is the most powerful created being in the universe. It is emphasized that the creative miracle of Yahushua in Miriam was less of a miracle than the creation of Adam and the creation of Chava, Eve. It is discussed that the manner of the death of Yahushua was a miracle, and that the blood of Yahushua revealed only the female chromosome. It is noted that true believers are filled with the Spirit of the Almighty, that is, anointed. It is stressed that hell is real and is for believers with unrepented sin, and that there is a great falling away at present. It is noted that Sunday is a pagan Sabbath. There are many more topics discussed. Finally, we will examine the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm an IT project manager. I have over 29 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty, following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair which, when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator, that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. And their own drop off. A significant number have died. There should be a much greater number of things on this today can qualify. It was set in the center of that for 1,000 years on the 3rd of May 2003. Set was put before the court of heaven on the 3rd of May 2003. The charges were thrown out. He was convicted of crime against humanity. Mastermind. Today, the safety of the pit prevent you, particularly if you're a young believer and plead for mercy. Of what's going wrong is either because of sin or direct curses or bloodline curses. And even curses will not have any effect if you are free of sin. So fundamentally, if there's something going wrong in your life, whether it's illness, whether you've been had things stolen from you, whether you're suffering wrong,
the whole goal
of the thing is to have a relationship with Father and not to rely on a book. You need to have a relationship with the Creator. The books can help you in your journey, but it is just a book and it is not the Word of God. Why did He create a book? When He wants to speak to you personally, face to face, it doesn't make any sense.
Contains about 2.5%
of inspired text and accounts of Christianity, but it does contain error. The Bible is the New Testament translated into Greek by unknown people and repeatedly transcribed by unknown people, with no guarantee of the accuracy of the translations or transcriptions, and no guarantee that someone along the way did not embellish or change words or verses to reflect their personal prejudices. It is useful to read the Bible a few times in a few translations, of which the King James Version or the New King James Version, the Amplified from Zondervan, and the Scriptures from the Institute of Scripture Research are worth reading once each. All of these are available on Amazon, and most of them are available on the internet in free PDF form. the Jewish Living Torah by Rabbi Araya Kaplan and the Living Nacht, published by the same publishers, are also worth reading once. Beyond that, there are a huge number of books relating to belief in the Almighty and in matters of the Almighty from diverse authors, many of them spirit-filmed to a greater or lesser extent, that are worth reading, although all books, as with all other information, are to be read and received with caution. A deep relationship with the Almighty is critical. What is true about Christianity is that there's a huge amount of practical literature relating to diverse facets of relationship with the Almighty, that it is worth scanning and reading selected books or sections of books, as led by the Spirit of the Almighty. What do you find with the relationship with Him? See the books listed at Important Information on the website, the webpage Important Information. More information on the Bible and what it is and what it is not, see Essence of Message regarding Bible and the Bible and the associated child pages. The Bible is based on fragments. The Bible, and particularly the New Testament, is based on fragments of weathered parchment collected from diverse sources. That is why many books are fragmentary in nature. There are chunks of text that are not part of a neatly constituted continuum. Look on Wikipedia for biblical manuscript. In considering these images, it is important to recognize that firstly, each fragment of parchment represents a passage in the Bible that is potentially disjoint from all other fragments, and that secondly, many of the fragments are ragged or have holes in them, or both, such that words, phrases, or entire verses are missing. It is also reported that some words were illegible because of the deteriorated state of the parchment. From consideration of the above, it is apparent that in order to compile a complete version, there has to have been considerable human interpretation and emendation to make the text read clearly. Tim Cookbier in his paper, Did Francis Bacon Frame the Bible? cbs.com in general 74/fry.html, and the translators of the King James Version of the Bible, on which most other translations are based, used a large amount of artistic license in filling in the gaps. I've read a report. The various source texts in the New Testament differ to the tune of around 1,250 instances where the wording is different. Accordingly, it is important to understand, to recognize, that the Bible is a very incomplete book. Once you recognize this and recognize that it is at best a useful resource, you will see things differently. Then the Protestant Bible contains 66 books showing human manipulation. Shortly after committing my life to Father in March 93, I realized that there were 66 books in my New King James Bible. I was impressed to count them. At that point, I'd already learned that the number 6 speaks of mankind, human interference. I got on my knees and asked Father what this meant, and he told me that the 66 meant that men had been messing with the Bible and that there were men. Creative process until he came to earth, at which point, as stated above, he became 100% human. He could not have performed his mission if he was not 100% human, and he would not hold the high status that he holds today were he not 100% human. For more information, see the webpage Yeshua and the child pages under that page, and also the essence of my message, Re-Yeshua Jesus. 20. The creative miracle of Yeshua in Miriam, Mary, was less of a miracle than the creation of Adam and the creation of Chava, Eve. The creative miracle in the fallopian tube The creative miracle in the fallopian tubes of Miriam, or Mary, that gave rise to the human being we know as Yahushua, or Jesus, was less of a miracle than the creation of Adam and the creation of Chava Eve. Yeshua is therefore 100% human, but with no inherited bloodline curses. Deifying Yeshua because of his virgin birth misses the point. Yah did not have sex with Miriam. He performed a creative miracle with her ovum that was less miraculous than creating Adam from the dust of the earth and Chava from Adam's rib. There is therefore no reason to worship Jesus or worship Yeshua. Folks, this is so important. People read the Bible, or they read fragments of the Bible, or they hear about what the Bible says, and they draw wrong conclusions. Many of the translations say that Spirit of the Almighty moved on Miriam, and they take that as meaning that the Almighty had intercourse with Miriam. No, not so. Crazy. Not so. He created a fetus from an ovum in Miriam's fallopian tubes. That's it. Nothing more complex than that. Then the death of Yeshua was a miracle. The death of Yeshua involved a series of inspired prophetic acts. Refer the webpage, The Miracle of Yeshua, Jesus' Death, for a detailed discussion of the miracle of Yeshua's death. To summarize, a cave was excavated beneath a cliff face that became known as Golgotha, the place of the skull, because it looked like a skull hundreds of years before Yeshua died. At the time of the Babylonian invasion of Yehuda, Judea, Jeremiah, removed the Ark of the Covenant from the temple and hid it in the cave. At some stage, the Romans or earlier people established an execution site directly above the cave, not knowing the cave was there. Yehuchanan, John, the Immerser Baptist, proclaimed him the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. At the time Yeshua was executed, a fourth stake or crosshole was excavated above the three existing holes directly above the Ark of the Covenant, specifically for Yeshua. Again, the person who excavated that crosshole did not know the Ark of the Covenant was there. Pilate proclaimed Yeshua King of the Hebrews. The high priest laid hands on Yeshua and proclaimed him Messiah and therefore high priest. The people declared his blood on themselves and their children, thereby proclaiming him as the offering for the atonement of sin. So all of these things involve a leading of the Spirit of the Almighty to set them up. They all involve pre-planning. They all involve careful coordination. Yeshua's death was the consequence of a whole series of spiritual interventions by the Almighty, a whole series of miracles. Then Yeshua declared the bread and wine of the meal to represent his body and blood, and thereby ushered in the new covenant when he died. When Yeshua died, an earthquake split the rock beneath the stakehole and caused a crack to form from the stakehole to the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant in the cave below. A soldier then pierced Yeshua's side, and blood and water ran out and down the crack onto the mercy seat. By his sinless blood running onto the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, hidden in the cave below the execution site, Yeshua became high priest, the atoning sacrifice for sin, and ushered in the new covenant. See Miracle of Yeshua's Death on the website, and also YouTube RTWUADU2C4 for a video reporting the manner in which the blood fell onto the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, and that the blood contained only the female chromosomes. All of this was a series of carefully orchestrated interventions by the Almighty to ensure that Yeshua accomplished his mission. The planning for this started over 1,000 years before with Moses in the wilderness, and ran right up to the minute that Yeshua died and was pierced and the blood fell on the mercy seat. It is vital to understand that this was Yah and Yeshua's plan from the beginning, that Yeshua knew what he was coming for, and that he had to die exactly that way and exactly that place. So we see that Yeshua had to be 100% human and had to die exactly that way in order to establish a new priesthood, a new covenant, and a new offering for forgiveness of sin. Without all of this, we would have a serious problem. Sadly, Christianity, and in fact mankind generally, does not understand most of what I've just shared with you. It's a complex picture, folks, and it's so important to understand it. I really encourage you to read the page on the website, Miracle of Yeshua, Jesus Death. In the blood of Yeshua revealed only the female chromosome. As noted above, when he died, the blood of Yeshua exited the wound made by the spear that penetrated his side, with the blood and water from his broken heart ran down the stake, down the earthquake crack, and onto the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. Ron White collected a sample, and when it was analyzed, it was found that the blood contained only the female chromosome, therefore proving the virgin birth. There's a link on the website to a YouTube video which goes into this in detail. Then true believers are filled with the Spirit of the Almighty. They're anointed. Anyone who is a true believer and has asked for infilling is filled at some level with the Spirit of the Almighty. The majority of such people are Christians, although there are also some Jews and some Muslims and others who are so filled. One of the problems of Christianity is that because of the confusion regarding Jesus, there are many Jesus worshippers who also have some measure of infilling with the set apart Spirit of the Almighty. And they then attribute the workings of the Almighty in their lives to Jesus. This is an abomination in the sight of the Creator, and these people will end up as adulterous wives in heaven. A person who is so anointed or filled with the Spirit of the Almighty lives life in a different space and a different mode. See the web page Anointed Life on the website. Folks, this is again so important. People who are truly filled with the Spirit of the Almighty experience things differently, they see things differently. They don't correlate with those who are not. So you get this massive disconnect between people filled with the Spirit and people who are not. Very important to understand, particularly if you are Spirit-filled, you need to be aware of this and conscious of it and take it into account. Then hell is real and is for believers with unrepented sin. Hell is a real place, as are the torments that occur there, and it is reserved for those who believe, but disdain Yeshua's sacrifice and die with unrepented sin. See the webpage Hell for graphic images painted by someone who's been there and graphic accounts by others who've been there. If you die as a Christian and have not dealt with all the sins outlined above and other sins associated with general Christian belief, you will spend considerable time in hell before you are admitted to heaven, if you are admitted at all. Then there's a great falling away in the present generation. There is a great falling away at present. The number of true believers is reducing constantly as the old generation die out and the younger generation do not believe. See the webpage Great Falling Away. Then Sunday is pagan. Saturday is the true weekly Sabbath. Sunday is a pagan, that is a satanic Sabbath. The true weekly Sabbath is Saturday, from sunrise Saturday to sunrise Sunday. See the webpage Sunday Pagan on the website. The majority is always wrong. One of the realities of the spirit and religious realm is that the majority are always in error. Yah's truths are preserved by a small minority. This is a huge trap that ensnared a huge number of people. See the web page, the majority is always wrong. Folks, it's so easy that our mindset with democracy is that we go with the majority, but when it comes to the things of the mighty, the majority are always wrong. It has always been the case that the people who are close to the Almighty are a small minority. Coming back to the Bible, it is valuable in that it has preserved the history of greatly anointed ones. The Bible is valuable because it has preserved the history of many greatly anointed ones and the history of people who served and failed to serve the Almighty for a period of primarily about 2,000 years. It also contains some inspired text, about 2.5%. But as stated previously, it is just a book, written and transcribed and translated by, for the most part, unknown parties with various levels of anointing and various levels of accuracy. By worshipping the Bible as the Word of God, Christians have devalued the Bible and given it false status as a substitute for relationship with the Almighty, to the extent that today the Almighty says that the Bible is the greatest idol on earth today and that he hates it. Point 29. Christianity has blessed the planet, but it is now degrading again. Modern Christianity, as experienced from the time of Martin Luther, has restored certain levels of truth about the Almighty and has returned many to some level of relationship with the Almighty, the eternally self-existing. The current levels of global prosperity are a direct consequence of millions of people serving the Almighty through Christianity at some level. However, in recent years, the vast majority have fallen away. Believing parents have failed to facilitate their children to become believers, with the result that today there are very few true believers on earth. Decisions to take the Bible and prayer out of schools, etc., have accelerated this degradation. Today, the vast majority of humans are unbelievers who believe that what they have today is a consequence of their own ability, without the Almighty, when in fact it is the consequence of blessings of the Almighty passed down through multiple generations. The blessings of belief and the curses of unbelief. Those who do have true belief are blessed at some level with regard to healing, wisdom, protection, provision, favor, etc. But all of these require some measure of living above sin. Christianity has in large measure walked in this, but as noted above, this is slipping away. And in a few hundred years, without a massive revival and renaissance, we will slip again into barbarism and satanic and demonic ways. Those who are not filled with the Spirit of the Almighty will be led by the demonic and not by the Almighty. Then virginity is set apart. A woman may covenant with only one man. Women are born with the seal of virginity, the hymen. Therefore they may only covenant, have intercourse with one man, unless they're widows or truly divorced. Adultery is sex with a woman who's one with another man. Men may covenant with, cover, protect, and provide for more than one woman. There are many errors and teachings with regard to the relationship of men and women today. Note that this does not prevent women from being powerful leaders. See the web page, the Virgin's Covenant on the website, and also the essence of my message, the men and women. It is acceptable for more than one woman to covenant with one man. In the light of the seal of virginity, it is acceptable and was in fact a design intention of the Almighty for a number of women to covenant with one man. However, in modern society, most women cannot handle sharing, so this form of marriage is mostly impractical. This does not alter the fact that it is powerful and pleasing to the Almighty. See the Define Marriage Covenant page on the website. You'll need to search for that in the Google search. Then seven times as many women as men in high places in heaven. There are seven times more women than men in the body of true believers and in high places in heaven. See the webpage Single Woman Believers Seven Times Men. Then we must keep the Ten Commandments and especially the Great Commandment. We must keep all ten of the commandments spoken out loud by the Almighty Creator at Mount Sinai. See the Commandments webpage and also the Essence of Message Regarding Commandments webpage. The Great Commandment is love Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, your Mighty One, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Clearly excludes Yeshua or Jesus. The Ten Commandments are, Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, is one Mighty One. You shall have no other Mighty Ones beside Him. That includes not worshipping Yeshua or Jesus. 2. Have no idols. Includes not worshipping the Bible as the Word of God and not worshipping the cross, which is actually a stake. 3. Do not take the name of Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, in vain. That's blasphemy. Includes not calling Him God or the Lord and also not having a yahoo.com email address or website. 4th commandment, keep the Sabbath. We're commanded to keep the high Sabbath, being Passover, Pesach, Pesach, Pentecost, Shavuot, the Day of Trumpets, Yom Teruah, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, the first and great days of the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. We are also commanded to keep the Saturday Sabbath from sunrise Saturday to sunrise Sunday. Note that Sunday is a pagan Sabbath and the day starts at sunrise. Folks, these are actually fairly simple rules. If you make up your mind to serve Father and keep the commandments, for the most part it's not that difficult. We'll look at the remainder of the commandments in a moment, but these four are actually not that difficult to keep if you're disciplined and if you make up your mind to keep them. Commandment 5, honor your father and mother. If you curse them, you will die. Commandment 6, no murder includes no abortion and no board of contraceptives. Note that the contraceptive pill that prevents ovulation is acceptable. But note that anything that prevents implantation of a fertilized ovum is murder. Then no adultery. 7, men having sex with women who are not virgins given to themselves. Men with men. 8, no stealing, includes taking tithes and offerings while preaching and teaching lies. 9, no false witness and no lying, includes not teaching and preaching lies in church. Big issue in Christianity. 10, well, in fact, it's in all religions, actually. They're all teaching and preaching lies. 10, no coveting and no lusting. Breaking any of the above leads to judgment, either in this life or in the life to come. We are required to live free of all these sins. So, folks, these commandments, again, they're not really that difficult. The ones about stealing are probably a little bit tricky for most of us. They certainly were for me when I first started to observe them, and I found that I'd been in the habit of taking small things that didn't belong to me. And the no lying is a big problem for a lot of people. It wasn't much of an issue for me, thankfully, but our society is geared to misrepresentation and lies and untruths and in marketing and so forth. And coveting and lusting is a big thing in our society, with advertising and so forth. Right, prayer and worship and fasting are vital. It's vital to pray regularly. In fact, pray in the Spirit without ceasing. Worship regularly and fast regularly. Most people underestimate the power of fasting. I only started fasting almost by accident in 2000 after I'd been really serving Father for 7 years. And my relationship with him just went to a whole new level once I started fasting. So I strongly recommend that if you've never fasted, that you start fasting. There's a web page on fasting. Have a look for it. The 7 components of drawing close to the Almighty Creator. There are 7 major elements in drawing close to the Almighty. See the web page, 7 components of drawing close. These are decision. Choose to serve the Almighty, prayer. See the essence of message regarding prayer on the website, the webpage. Then fasting, as I mentioned above. Cleansing includes deliverance from demons, anointing with oil, anointing with the blood of the covenant, spiritual shaving, spiritual audits, whole bunch of things. There's the essence of my message regarding cleansing. Have a look at that. Then worship, some powerful worship songs on the website. Research to learn what Yah wants you to do. Each one of us is unique, and each one of us is called to have a distinct relationship with Father. He will help you craft your relationship with Him. Don't copy me or anyone else. And then action, putting what you've learned into action with a view to aiming to become a friend of the Creator, your personal ministry. Folks, all of these are important, but in the short time I've got to talk about this right now, I'd stress, if you are not fasting on a fairly regular basis, I encourage you to start today. Then there was a global hydraulic and tectonic event about 4,500 years ago, euphemistically called the flood. It is so that there was a worldwide hydraulic and tectonic event, also known as the flood, in which the entire planet was submerged in water as a consequence of an ice comet impact. The surface of the earth was then totally mashed up and the earth expanded, draining the water off the continents. See Essence of Message, Re-Global Hydraulic Tectonic Catastrophe, aka Flood. It is important to understand that reports of findings on Earth that are millions or billions of years old are incorrect. The entire surface of the planet was formed about 4,500 years ago by the event referenced above. Further, high levels of radioactivity were emitted during and after this event with the result that there were major mutations and diversification of plant and animal species and degradation of human beings. Noah was about 18 feet tall, 6 meters tall, and we now consider somebody who's 2 meters tall to be significant. The miracle of the flood is that Noah prepared for the flood by building a boat and assembling a representative sample of animals and birds and survived the flood despite tumultuous seas. Every living thing on the ark was strapped down, and then the Almighty put them into suspended animation. Point number 38. All people on earth today are descended from the three sons of Noah. All people on earth today are descended from the three sons of Noah. Shem, the Jews, the Arabs, the Europeans, the Russians, the Indians, the North American Indians, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, at some level serving the Almighty. Japheth, the Japanese, Chinese, Koreans, and other Far East Asian peoples, primarily the idolatry and worship of the emperor. And then Ham, most of Africa, ancestor demon worship. I'm just about out of time, so I'm going to just read out to you the remaining sections in this article. I'm not going to share them next week. I'm going to move on to something else. Go to the website, look for the page, The Essence of My Message to Christians, which is fairly close to the top of the website, and you'll find all the detail there. So the other bullets are: creation took place in an evolutionary manner over millions of years. Christianity does preserve important truths. Your ministry, you're either a spokesman, an evangelist, a shepherd, or an emissary. It is not about the people. Each major religion and denomination preserves different truths. Christmas, Easter, etc. are pagan feasts and should be avoided at all costs. There are very few true believers on earth today. Good is not the issue. The church is corrupt and valueless. True belief recognizes the above and worships only the Creator. The fundamental reason we exist is to become friends of the Creator. Folks, if you've been touched by this message, at the end of the article on the website, you'll find a fairly detailed prayer. But basically it's about, Father, I come to you in the name of Yeshua. I recognize that I've been deceived and mistaken. I recognize that I do not have a relationship with you. I ask you to fill me with your spirit. If you're an unbeliever, I ask you to help me to believe. I ask you to lead me to the things you want me to read and listen to and view. I ask you to bring people across my path who can help me. And I ask you to lead me so that I can become your friend. I desire to become your friend, Father. And I ask you now to help me begin that journey. Amen. Pray that prayer with something along those lines. It doesn't have to be exact. And just pray sincerely whatever comes to mind. So I want to look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator today. I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. So just following on from my comments a minute ago about a prayer, folks, this is so important. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, whether you're educated or uneducated. It doesn't matter whether you're attractive or unattractive, however you define that. It doesn't matter whether you've got blonde hair and blue eyes or black hair and brown eyes or anything in between. It doesn't matter your race, your tribe, your nationality, your country, your people group, whatever that means to you. Father wants you to become His friend. He will meet you wherever you are right now. You don't have to go somewhere else. You do not have to go to some pastor or priest or imam or rabbi or whatever. You can turn to him today. He's around you everywhere. He wants to talk to you. He wants to have a deep relationship with you. He will meet you right now if you will turn to him and ask him to help you. I really encourage you to go for it. So wrapping up, key documents and a video on the menu of the website. Compendium of important articles, video, Why Seek Relationship, Miracle of Yeshua's Death. The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. 7 components in drawing close to the Creator. Recommended worship. The Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing. Where will you spend eternity? The essence of my message to Christians. Available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show drop-down and then podcasts on the drop-down. Or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 until May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the Compilation of Most Writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. There are about 2,400 articles in the article database, which you can search with the keyword cloud or the article search facility and the sliders. There's over 1,000 web pages, and you can search the whole site with the Google search, which gives you Google functionality. Click on the slide, go down the right-hand sidebar, and you'll find the Google search and the article search facility. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list, also at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. So in closing, folks, I hope you found this interesting. I hope it's given you something to think about. I hope above all things that it's causing you to seriously question your relationship with Father. It's so important to understand there is a huge continuum in terms of where you can end up when you die. You can end up as an ancestor spirit, demon, human spirit, trapped on your corpse in your grave, or trapped in a crematorium oven, or as a demon haunting people. And at the other end of the spectrum, you can sit on a high throne in heaven, right close to the Almighty, with enormous power, authority, glory, really esteemed, respected by mankind, and anywhere in between. It's up to you. And I encourage you now to choose to seek to become a friend, or at least to make a significant impact on the earth. And I'm happy to help you. James@endtimeissueministries.org. Thanks so much. Good night.